Hey, Starting Nine listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
This is your Twisted Kings, Taylor Lewan and Will Compton. Summer is right around the corner.
Nothing is better than grabbing a refreshing Twisted Tea cold on the rocks. It's got 5% alcohol. It is the perfect drink to turn up your summer. And you might be wondering, is this a sponsored ad? Yes. But the truth is, the boys, we love Twisted Tea.
Dude.
Go buy it, go drink it, drink responsibly, and tell your boys to buy it as well. Let's have ourselves a hell of a summer. Oh, don't be dumb, drink responsibly.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome back to Starting
Let's
Nine.
Let's go.
Episode 277. We got 2 weeks left in the Major League Baseball season. And you'd think that we have like a little more clarity on who's in and who's out.
Why would you have more clarity? Why would you think after a week of madness, teams who want to win, winning, teams who don't want to win, not winning, and then the reverse happens? There's no clarity.
This
absolutely feels like it's a last minute thing.
Is there any team that, the Giants are the only team to clinch a spot, but I think the division winners are kind of.
The Giants and Dodgers.
What do you mean?
I mean, those two are like done. Like
no, I'm saying in terms of, the Dodgers are in, yes. Is there anyone that you'd like to, you're going to call it. Like, this team's in. You're calling it. You can't take it back. You're calling the White Sox. You're calling the Brewers. You're calling the Giants and the Dodgers. We're talking wild card teams. Is there a team right now that is not in a playoff spot today, entering play, September 20th, Monday?
Well, I don't know if it's bold. Maybe I go the other direction and tell you the San Diego Padres are not.
They're out. What are there, three teams in front of them right now?
It's
they're three and a half
maybe
back.
There's some hurdles in front of them, Jared. It's that remaining schedule.
And they're not starting from a position of power.
No, they're chasing right now, and they're not in a position.
It's bad.
Like their schedule doesn't lend itself to them being in a spot where they can make up ground.
They're tied with the Phillies, who lost last night on Sunday Night Baseball to the Mets. Those two teams are 3.5 games back. The Cincinnati Reds are 3 games back of the St. Louis Cardinals, who are the second wild card team.
Redbirds.
Out of goddamn nowhere. They've won 8 straight games.
I love it. I told you. The Redbirds. I love to fucking see it, Jared. I love to see it. Oh, it's been so magical. It really has. It really and truly has. Tyler O'Neill. I mean, good God. Raking.
He's been doing it all year, though. That's the thing. It's like this dude has not gotten the credit that he deserves.
When we started that conversation and I mentioned St. Louis Cardinals, I feel like the St. Louis Cardinals, what happened? Tyler O'Neill was a part of that conversation. Mm-hmm. And what happened? It was almost like a long distance rub. Like a virtual rub he wasn't even aware of that got dropped on him. Because we started having that conversation, and sure, he's been swinging the bat well, but it feels like just a barrage started. He just really started to ratchet it up.
And now Tyler O'Neill, I want to say, whenever he goes out to left field, he does something where he acknowledges the fans and everything. When he hit that home run on Saturday, he got a standing ovation in the ninth inning going out to his position and left. I mean, Cardinals fans, it's kind of like they're like the butt of the joke as it pertains to giving fans credit. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, the best fans, St. Louis Cardinals. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool, some of the stuff that they do. I mean, there's some of them on Twitter that are just awful, and there's Twitter accounts dedicated to how awful some of their fans can be. But there's no knock on Cardinal fans in St. Louis at Busch Stadium being like above and beyond great baseball fans.
No, I was going to say, have you ever been to a ball game at Busch Stadium?
Nope.
So that's awesome. And just like playing their minor league affiliates throughout the minor, like those fans are like in Springfield. Those fans are great fans. Like they're just they applaud the little things on either side that are getting done. You know, like a guy moves somebody over, leadoff double, somebody hits a sack fly to right field, they tag up. Like they're applauding loudly for the sacrifice. Opposing team does something, like they just, so that's kind of where it comes from, is like really all levels their fans are doing what they're, you know, are acknowledging the game. But to your point, there is that, like, hey, you're not that fucking cool, okay?
Yeah,
calm down. Like, you guys are knowledgeable fans, it's great, but there are also, you know, a couple of assholes in there mixed in, just like every other fan base. So don't act like that's not true, because when you start to do that, that's where everybody's like, come on, really? Like, we're already kind of letting you know, like, okay, yeah, sure, you're great fans, but now to take it to that next level, like, fucking pump the brakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it'll be it's not even going to be like a dog fight to the end. I think St. Louis has got this.
Well, it's because of Cincinnati. How their weekend turn out?
The Cincinnati Reds. What'd they lose? 2 out of 3?
I believe so.
Let's see. The Reds schedule coming up. They've got Pittsburgh. So at least there's that. They can come out of this.
They avoided the sweep. Sorry. I was talking about the Pirates, who almost had the sweep.
Yeah. The Cincinnati Reds. Over the weekend, they beat the Dodgers on Friday, 5-1 on Saturday, 8-5 on Sunday, and now they get the Pirates again. But is that really a good thing? Because they just played them last week, and they lost 2 out of 3 to Pittsburgh.
And though Wade Miley has pitched recently, Wade Miley kind of riding that struggle bus as of lately.
Mm-hmm. Who took him deep, Lux?
Devin Lux.
Yeah. So they've got the Pittsburgh Pirates.
So then, yes, I'll do it. I'll tell you. St. Louis Cardinals are not giving that shit up.
Ooh.
The Redbirds are here to bang. The Redbirds are here to bang. 9-1 over their last 10. Finally got a nice little positive run differential going.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck yeah. September, come on. You got Yachty and Waino, the ageless wonders, leading the charge. Let's fucking go. Give me more Redbirds. Who else? Yeah. Yeah.
If the standings, let's just say the standings are what they are, right? Mm-hmm. And let's say they stay exactly where they're at.
Okay.
Fill in the blank for me. I can't believe the blank didn't make the playoffs.
I can't believe the San Diego Padres didn't make the playoffs.
More so than the Yankees.
Well, how do I answer that? Yes, but then we immediately acknowledge like the injuries and stuff that have occurred with San Diego, and then you're like, well, how could you expect that if you knew that? You know what I mean? So, yes, and then obviously how things have unfolded for San Diego is the unfortunate part, but that's part of baseball. We know that. So for this team to just really not be in a position to ever threaten for the division and to now be four games out of the second wild card spot, that's not where anybody had the San Diego Padres penciled in. Like, they had them fighting the Dodgers for the division this year. That's just a quick reminder that absolutely fucking nobody on the planet Earth had the San Francisco Giants doing what they've done. It was Padres and Dodgers. Let's see who's going to battle that out. And the Giants are in that division too. That's how the conversation started at the beginning of the season. That is not the conversation now. So that's why, for me, out of all of this, the San Diego Padres, because there were still question marks around the New York Yankees starting rotation outside of Gerrit Cole. Like, we knew Severino banged up. Like there was just questions. San Diego Padres seemed poised to be throwing their dick around.
Evan Longoria, I think, posted something the other day. Where was it? He posts a lot, Evan. So he's a big Instagram guy.
He's a big poster, big Insta guy. Longo.
Yeah, I think it was on his story. It wasn't on his page. I think it was like the before the season. They were supposed to be 80-82.
Yeah,
the first team to clinch a playoff spot. And I'm excited for the San Francisco Giants, but is it weird that I'm skeptical from a postseason standpoint?
Oh, why? why is that? What scares you?
I think that they've defied the odds. It's a weird dynamic where when you look at the San Francisco Giants, and Dallas was saying this all year about how they're going to fall off and the Dodgers are going to pass them and this and that. It's only a matter of time, August 15th. And then it never happened. It did for a split second, but then the Giants just took their division lead right back. When you look at the Giants and you look at the Dodgers, you watch them play baseball, you look at the names and the numbers, you would say, yeah, the Dodgers are better than the Giants. That just has yet to be reflected in the standings. And it still could. You still could. But I think in a playoff series, it's different. It's different than...
I don't know. I want you to explain. Come on. Give it to me.
I just did. If you're looking at the talent on each roster, and you know this firsthand. Baseball fans that are listening to this, you know this firsthand. The game is not played the same way in the postseason that it is in the regular season.
No, it is not.
So once you get to October, and you see that the way the game is played drastically changes, would you agree? Oh, I don't even know if I have to ask you this question. Would you agree or disagree that the Dodgers are in a better position to win a playoff series given the way the game is played in October than, let's say, the San Francisco Giants?
Well, that's where you know where my mind goes. I instantly think about, okay, how the first five innings go. I don't want to call it a coin toss, but when you feel like you've got starting pitching that can match up, let's call the first five innings a wash or one run difference. What do those next three innings look like, or next four innings look like? Innings 6, 7, 8, 9, turning it over to a bullpen. Because right now, the Dodgers, I believe, and this is, this is war. I believe the Dodgers have the best bullpen in the National League in terms of war.
Okay.
That doesn't necessarily mean anything in that setting. Giants have a bullpen they feel like can match up as well. They've got a pretty damn good bullpen in their own right. So what are we talking about? I think from there we're talking about experience and the depth of lineups and the experience in those lineups as well. But Will Smith was part of the depth for the Dodgers for a time. He's now the guy. And has
like a 9.17 OPS.
Has been the guy. They don't have AJ Pollock. All right. And that chips away a little at that depth. So then I think about the San Francisco Giants. You think about their lineup and think about its depth, if you will. I feel like the San Francisco Giants, Jared, as much as I, and this is the difference. It's not that I don't want to say it. I've had a lot of fun just talking shit about the Giants, but I understand the game of baseball. The Giants and Gabe Kapler, not afraid to use his entire bench every day. Every day, he is not afraid to use absolutely every player he has at his disposal. And that is by design. So I feel like even a team that might not have a ton of experience in that regard with some of its ancillary players, because you got to remember, we're talking about guys in Belt, Crawford, and Posey who've been there for the run, who are part of the legacy. And if anything, they can try to help the younger guy, or excuse me, the role players who might not have that dirt under their cleats, they can help them along in those moments. And that's leading a horse to water, which is great because you've got some very experienced horses who know the path, but that doesn't mean you can get the young ones to drink, meaning they've got to be able to process the emotion and the gravity of the moment, of the game, of the situation. They've got to be willing to, you know, cut their swing down with runners on and be okay with moving it over. Like, they've just got to be able and be open to those conversations.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait. It's just like the simple question of, oh, like, who do you think's going to win the World Series this year? I don't know.
But, I mean, what's up, like the Giants, the bullpen? I believe Jake McGee just hit the injured list.
Okay.
And I believe it was with a fucking intercostal or some tired shit like that, which sucks because that's the side, that's the oblique, and that's brutal because he's a pitcher. He's got to rotate like everybody does in the game. But they got you know who I could see being an absolute fucking weapon for the San Francisco Giants once they get into the postseason?
Pitcher?
Yeah.
Who?
Tyler Rogers.
Yeah, I mean, he's been great in the back end, no doubt. But, like, is he going to be someone like at how Cleveland – remember how Cleveland was using Andrew Miller?
Yeah. Well, that's why I said I think Tyler Rogers could be a fucking weapon. Now, I don't know if it's about figuring out a way to deploy him for multiple innings, because I think that – could be getting a little greedy, because what he does and why he is successful, there's a lot of deception to it. And you start running that out there multiple days in a row, you start running it out there for multiple innings, that can start to lose its shine a touch. Because we're talking about a dude who three, four times maybe he's been asked to get four outs or more all season long. But postseason time, Jared, is nut cutting time. And that's where you got to man the fuck up. And that's a hell of a lot easier to say than do. But when you've got a dude like Tyler Rogers down there who offers what he offers, you got to start thinking about letting that horse run an extra lap if it's the difference between being able to win a tightly contested, high leverage situation that could then ultimately lead to winning that ball game. Because that situation in Tyler Rogers, that might show up in the sixth inning. Doesn't have to be the ninth. Could be a guy or two on, less than two outs. We need to get the fuck out of Dodge right now. Tyler, you got this one in the next three? Love you. Could be a weapon.
So, I was looking at this the other day, and What do you think the Giants, if I were to say rank them, where do the Giants rank in terms of percentage odds to win the World Series? Out of every major league team, where are they?
To win the World Series.
Yep. They've had the best record in baseball.
I'm going to say they're at the bottom of the playoff pack. They're at the bottom of the of the postseason teams. They're at the bottom of that pack.
They're seventh. Seventh.
There you go.
That's great. The Red Sox. The Red Sox have better odds to win the World Series than the Giants. The White Sox, the Astros.
What do you think it is about the San Francisco Giants that is not favoring them? What is it about what are the computers looking at? What are the algorithms not excited about?
See, I would have maybe bought into this at the All-Star break, but now they are what they are. If they finish, if you finish the season with the best record in baseball, how are you not considered one of the best teams?
They do have two of the absolute worst teams in baseball in their division.
Sure. But if that were really that much of a factor, then the Dodgers are, the computers are telling you, like, what are they, 20-something? That right now,
you're
the odds to win the World Series, Giants, 6.3%. Mm-hmm. The Dodgers, 21.4%. Like, the computers are basically telling you the Dodgers are winning the World Series.
I like that.
Well, the Dodgers play in the same division as the Giants, do they not? And the Dodgers do not have a better record than the Giants. So how much of a factor are we really talking about here?
Maybe the Dodgers are... look, that's what I'm asking you now is, what about this lineup or what about this team... Does the algorithm not favor, or is the computer looking at it going, look, these guys that have done this, nobody expected them to be doing what they're doing, and we're not coming off that move. We being the algorithms, we being the computers, are like, we're not coming off that take. Which I would agree with the computer, because that would reflect my intelligence, and anytime the computer's telling you what I've been telling you, I would want the computer to be right, because that means I was right. But would it be
the strength of the rotation
that is being questioned?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's fair.
Like, when you talk about going up against the Giants in a playoff series, you're not saying, like, ugh, you don't want to see X, Y, and Z, whatever they're going to try out there for.
Gausman, like, if he's on his shit, is...
Yeah, he's been great, but, like, there have been times where he hasn't been great. Like, would you definitively say that Gausman is an ace?
Closer to being a frontline guy than he's ever been
before.
Yeah,
no doubt. Frontline guy, yes. Ace? Like, guy that you don't want to see in the playoffs?
No. But that's why I said closer to being that frontline guy than you would ever want to see. Here's the bottom line, is it's going to take people to just say, to admit what I've been saying the whole year. And it's okay. It's not taking anything away from these dudes. If anything, it's a tip of the cap to what they've been able to do for as long as they've been able to do it this year. But if we were all sitting in a fantasy baseball draft, and Anthony DeSclafani and Kevin Gausman and Alex Wood, if they were on your radars to go early, you're a goddamn liar. You're a liar. And that's okay, because what they have done is nothing to sneeze at. But it's also okay to say that we didn't see that coming. Like, that's why the flyer label is attached to these dudes at the beginning of the season. We don't know what we're going to get here. We know what could be should they stay healthy. We feel like we're going to be able to put them in some positive positions. Because, look, talking to Boom Boom, that's a bit... Andrew Bailey, their pitching coach, talking to him, that's what they do. And that's what everybody across the league is doing, Jared, is finding ways to maximize these guys, put them in positions in terms of pitch repertoire, attack plan, to have success. So knowing who Andrew Bailey is and knowing how he goes about his work, knowing about how he's along with the rest of the staff, prepared these guys, knowing guys like Alex Wood, knowing how cerebral Woody can be when it comes to figuring out how to get outs this day and age, at this stage. Guys are listening. Guys are paying attention. So it's been a great combination of information and health for the San Francisco Giants rotation that has led them here. Logan Webb is a goddamn monster. Okay? Let's just call it what it is. If you don't like the Giants, if you're a fan of a team in the NL West, you look under your bed at night for Logan Webb. Your children scream for you down the hallway because Logan Webb is in their closet. The fucking boogeyman is who Logan Webb is. Like, not that you haven't, not you, Jared, just people in general, taking a start. Taking a Logan Webb start. It's bowling balls and shit that looks like it's ricocheting off walls. Sliders. Just, it's absolutely disgusting. I don't want to say didn't see that coming, but if you thought you were going to get 130 plus innings out of Logan Webb, sub 3 ERA, you'd be pretty fucking excited about that.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. We'll see. We're 2 weeks away. Does it feel like it? I was at Fenway over the weekend. I was like, this doesn't feel like the last homestand of the season.
It absolutely feels like that for me, just because of where the A's are and what the schedule looks like. Like today for the Oakland A's marks a stretch of 14 ball games or 13 ball games strictly between the Mariners and the Astros. The rest of our season is played now between the Mariners and the Astros. The division leader and the team we're trying to fend off right now, creeping behind us as we try to catch the fucking Yankees.
If you can't catch the Yankees, then you're not good. That team stinks.
They are – it feels like they're doing every – what happened to Gerrit Cole? Did somebody hack Gerrit Cole? Because I felt like he went out and
Dallas, we'll talk about that. That's not like a fucking – just throw in a little line here. We're going to dive into that. Just like I'm trying to
dive into some Goslings. You drunk fuck. It's 9:30 in the morning.
It's not Goslings yet. It's Roman.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Jeez, it's 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah. Most guys have tried different ways to last longer in bed, but thinking about baseball, that doesn't always work. And the folks at Roman, an online men's health company, are changing the game with Roman swipes. It is the secret to longer lasting sex. Everyone knows that. Roman swipes are clinically proven way to last longer in bed. They're effective, easy to use, and fast acting, but they don't require a prescription.
Oh.
Roman can ship swipes to you in discreet, unmarked packaging, and each swipes packet is small enough to hide in your wallet for whenever you need it. They're super easy to use. Just take the swipes out of the packet, swipe it on. Let it dry, and you're good to go. That's it. That's all you got to do. Just go to GetRoman.com/starting, and you can get your first month of swipes for just $5 when you choose a monthly plan. That is GetRoman.com/starting. You know, you mentioned Gerrit Cole. You mentioned Gerrit Cole, and this is an individual who has been one of the only bright spots for the Yankees this year. He has the hamstring injury, but is out there pitching on one leg, and he gets shelled, which is clearly like not what you'd you would obviously not expect this from Gerrit Cole. I think I give Gerrit Cole credit for saying, hey, I may not be 100%, but the season's on the line here, and me at 75% is probably better than whatever else you were going to throw out there. So give me the ball and let's go to work. And it turns out that Gerrit Cole at 75% or whatever percentage you want to put on it is not very good, because he gave up 7 earned runs, 10 hits, got absolutely shellacked. And then for his efforts, I'm just guessing that these conversations took place, that Gerrit Cole isn't 100% and did say, give me the ball, because the season is on the line here. And I'm basically painting him as a hero without actually ever really knowing if he is one.
Oh, wow. Credit to you. Jeez.
That's just me being unbiased. And I think that there is...
If you're not listening, I'm actually painting him as a hero.
You're not following along, I'm doing some heroic shit myself by acknowledging all this.
Jesus.
But it was clearly a very over-the-top reaction to boo Gerrit Cole. I mean, give me a fucking break. He's been the only guy that gives a shit.
Well, he's been the only dude, frankly, and let me make something abundantly clear. Just because you've been clamoring for Aaron Boone's job since April doesn't mean you care. A lot of that means you're an idiot. Mm-hmm. Well, the majority of that means you're an idiot. But you can't at any point in time applaud the $340 million contract and acquiring Gerrit Cole. You can't beat that drum and then on the heels of doing what he did, very specifically what Gerrit Cole tried to do for you and tried to do for the organization, you're gonna boo that. What would you rather have your Spartan warrior do? Go out on his shield? Or never even march to battle? What would you rather have?
I'd rather have him do an old CC. Go out on the shield.
So, why? Like, you give me something else that you're going to applaud. If it's not Gerrit Cole laying his nuts on the mound out there for that franchise, what can please you? And that's where the, like, grotesque, slimy, like, oh, you just don't even understand, like, the layers to this thing if all you're going to bitch about and all you can ever talk about are the rings, the majority of which you were never alive to see obtained. Like, if that's the constant fallback, that's a great opportunity for Yankee fans to not live up to the billing that I think the majority of the baseball world looks at Yankee fans like, you just have that taste in your mouth. Like, and it's because shit like this. Like, you just ask the fan base, like, hold on, just want to make sure that each and every one of you that told the whole entire world to kiss your ass that it was over, 28 rings, here they come, Gerrit Cole leading the charge, tip of the spear, everybody's dead. Are you the same fan base that was doing that, that just booed this dude off the mound in an effort to try to keep you fucking relevant in this wild card hunt with a bad leg? Like, what he could very well do, he's telling you, look, made the money, 340, that's in the bank. So I'll give you everything I got. And if your response to that is to boo him off the mound as your best opportunity to hang in the ballgame, to hang in the race, You're really showing who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. And I you know what? Back in the day when I was a kid and George Steinbrenner was still alive, I used to fear endings to Yankee seasons like this because I would be like, "Oh my God." It was the less of two evils because it was like, either the Yankees are going to win the World Series, which would suck, or there's going to be a failure to the end of their season, and then they're going to go nuclear in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Yankees miss the playoffs, or you had like a catastrophic end to their season, it's like, all right, well, great. Now they're going to go get this superstar, that superstar. They're going to fire the manager and hire this genius and blah, blah, blah. And I just don't fear that anymore. Like, we saw them go out and get Gerrit Cole.
They got Gerrit Cole. Does it now make you start to think, like, you know what? They got Gerrit Cole, but I mean, that's been a done deal. What happened at the deadline? And did making the moves they made ultimately supplement the areas that needed the attention?
No.
So that's maybe something where your fear might be born in justification. You might have a reason to not really fear, because the moves that did get made, the moment where the pendulum would essentially swing back in the boss's favor, in the Yankees' favor, those moves didn't have that impact.
No, but that's the thing about Yankee fans is that they thought they would.
Sure.
Like when they're like, it's kind of like,
you went and got a dude who strikes out 200 times a year and thought that wasn't going to happen. Like you felt like that wasn't going to be a thing. And like, I'm like, here's the thing, Yankee fans, when you've got guys that strike out 200 times a year, regardless of where you're getting them in the season, it's going to feel like they're punching out a whole lot. Especially for a guy like Joey Gallo, who's been known to hit around 200, still give you 40 jacks or so, but like that's going to come. That's part of the game. That is the game. Mm. It's what you signed up for.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, see, I mean, you know, it should be an interesting offseason, because I think Booney is, his contract's just up. I don't think it would be a firing. It would just be a thanks for coming.
A non-renewal? I don't know.
Yeah. There's going to be some interesting veteran names out there. Buck Showalter. Bruce Bochy out of retirement.
Bochy, he's going to San Diego.
You think so?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. Could be.
He's got ties.
Yeah, he sure does. Yeah, so anyways, with the New York Yankees on the outside looking in, they're what, a game and a half back at Toronto, who's a game behind Boston. It's just good to be us. It's good to be us right now. It's not good to be you. A's won last night. I saw that. Was there a cough button experience in the ninth inning last night, Dallas?
There may or may not have been.
Yeah. Yeah, Sergio Romo coming into a game against the Angels. 2-0 lead on the road. Time to shut it down. It just didn't happen that way.
Things did not get shut down immediately. No, they
did
not.
Nope.
But the A's did complete the sweep. They did complete a 5-1 road trip.
They did.
Which, as I said, would have been okay with a 4-2 road trip, because it's win every series. And they did that. And as we were just talking about, they've now got 13 straight games against the Seattle Mariners starting tonight, 4-game set, 3 against the Houston Astros. That completes the homestand, and then boom, on the road for a 3-3 split. Seattle, Houston. So taking 3 against Anaheim was necessary, even against a man who, frankly, the numbers were telling you that was just not going to happen. Like, you're not going to beat Shohei Ohtani at home, because it's only happened once since he's been pitching for the Angels, and it hasn't happened this year, and it wasn't going to likely happen this year. Well, he didn't wear the L, but they did lose. But Shohei Ohtani absolutely fucking shoved 8 innings, I think 10.
He went 8?
Yeah. No, actually, no. Did he go 7? I think he went 7. 7 innings. 7 innings. 10 punch outs. It's just special. it's just special. It really is.
Did you get emotional watching it?
We just like just the MVP conversation that inevitably came up, because you're obviously paying respect to what Vlad is doing. But just putting that whole thing into perspective. And I thought what was really cool was my partner, who has obviously seen a hell of a lot more baseball than I have. brother played in the big leagues for quite a long time, brother Dwayne Kuiper, broadcaster for the San Francisco Giants. He said, dude, like, I don't know that I'll ever see this ever again. He said, I certainly never saw it before. And the stories of Babe Ruth are all anybody that's alive today has to go on. And so what you're seeing unfold, like, it's just a matter of, you know, continuing to appreciate that. So I thought that was cool that even guys who are, I'm not saying that Kuiper is hesitant to do this, just older individuals are sometimes hesitant to give that new wave their flowers or their attention. And that's just not how it's being viewed in this area anyway. So that was really cool. Very, very cool. But I'll say this about the MVP. With what Otani's done and what Vlad has done, the voting here is going to really show you who is valuing the statistical side of this award and who is telling you, I don't care as much about the numbers. I care about the impact of the player and the potential postseason ramifications of that player's production. That's what this vote is going to show you. Are you valuing the most ridiculous baseball performance that the game has ever seen? Because this is quite literally the best baseball performance that the game has ever seen. Or are you valuing one guy on a playoff-bound team, factoring in his production to the success of a potential playoff berth? Like, those are two very different things that you're judging, right?
Correct.
But that's what this MVP vote this year is going to show. Like, whether or not you like it, you're going to be raising your hand and telling the world, this is what I value now. So for the first time ever, we're going to have that V, and the people who vote, we're going to have their V card defined, Jared. We're going to know. We're going to know. And there's
no. You think it's
going to
be close?
I don't think it's going to be close. It should be, in my opinion, and I'm sorry, but this is what it is. It should be a unanimous decision. And you want to know what else should be a unanimous decision?
What?
The award that Vlad is going to win. The Hank Aaron Award.
Hank Aaron Award, yeah.
The one that tells you, hey, guys, we've got an award that we'd like for you to vote on for the best offensive player. If you'd like to throw Shohei in that conversation, knock yourself out. Don't think that's going to be much of a conversation. I believe that award to be Vlad Guerrero's. And the reason why that's Vlad Guerrero's is because he is the most dynamic offensive player in the game of baseball right now.
Mm-hmm.
In the American League. You want to know what he's not in the American League? He's not the overall best player in the American League. He's not the best baseball player in the American League. And he didn't have the best season as a baseball player in the American League. He had the best offensive season, and they've got an award for that. They also have an award for the best fucking player, the most valuable player. They got an award for that. It's called the MVP. And that's going to go to Shohei.
Is the Hank Aaron in both leagues? It is, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, because Bryce Harper better fucking get his due there too.
Yeah, but I mean, like, tell me I'm wrong in that assessment.
No, you're not wrong.
Because I do think for the people who are constantly having this debate, like, understand what this MVP conversation this season does specifically. It settles that debate. Like, as I said, you got 50 writers or 50 voters in the room, at the end of this season, you're going to know which of those 50 value just raw production and numbers from a player standpoint, and which writers value a potential postseason berth and that player's production.
I don't think that there's going to be a writer under the age of 50 who doesn't vote for Shohei.
Yeah, I don't see. And along that vein, it would be tough for me to understand how a player or how somebody over 50 who is that much closer to the legend that they never saw of Babe Ruth but heard about. Like, you only heard about that. And what you're seeing unfold right now is so far beyond what you've heard. Like, what
well, that's
heard
why,
is,
like, if Vlad, because now if you're talking about, like, the older guys, where it's like they're 60-something years old, if Vlad wins the Triple Crown, then they're going to be like, well, how can we not give it to the Triple Crown winner? You won the Triple Crown. Like, there will be those guys. There will be.
Sure. And I would tell you, again, the greatest offensive award or the greatest offensive season, that's going to be rewarded. It is. But you cannot, like I would, again, what if you, like, if you sat those old dudes down and were like, all right, but hear me out, you can also use him to pitch. You would blow their fucking mind. You would blow their mind. Their heads would pop off in the barbershop. What? Fuck, he can pitch? Yeah. Yeah, he can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's like when you're talking about, like, overall player. It's like, all right, Vlad might win the Triple Crown. And it's like, all right, well, how else can he impact the game? Is he a good base runner? Well, not, you know, he's not.
He's not a clog. Yeah. He's scoring from first on doubles. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's
no doubt.
Put that out
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Like, defensively, is he making web gems? Is he in the running for the Gold Glove? No. No.
No, as long as he's playing in the American League, that ain't happening.
Yeah. And then you got Shohei, where it's like, well, yeah, he's one of the biggest offensive threats in the game. And then he started the All-Star game as a starting pitcher as well.
The fans put him there.
Contest.
The fans put him there.
Yeah.
And then you want to know who put him in the lineup? For the first time that had ever been done? His counterparts, the people he competes against, were like, you need to be hitting in this game as well.
Yeah.
Actually, you need to be starting in this fucking game. Like, you're going to start in the lineup. Like, the fans love you, and you deserve to be here as a pitcher, too. And we'll fuck it. Hey, you want to start that side? Fuck it. Home run derby. Like, we just gloss over this stuff now because Shohei Ohtani has already made it something that in this day and age, you're kind of like already on to the next. Like, you're already waiting for the next Shohei Ohtani to show up.
I mean, like, people Shohei Ohtani will inspire other Shohei Ohtanis later on.
I don't know. Let's make something abundantly clear. There
I'm
are
not
guys
saying
that
there will be, like, as good as Shohei Ohtani. Of course not, but he will inspire people to try.
Yeah, Jared, I watch Gone in 60 Seconds, and I'm inspired to do 140 on the freeway. I have no business doing 140 on the freeway. I have no business boosting vehicles. I'm inspired. Brendan McKay, the lefty I talk about for the Rays, him and Hunter Green coming out of high school in their draft classes, two-way guys, dominant two-way guys, inspired, and immediately led down a different path. Like, boys, that ain't for you. That ain't for you. And that's where the inspiration, like, almost gets castrated. So it was going to take a dude overseas, it feels like, to do what he did over there for it to ever even be entertained. Like, all right, if you want to do that, like kind of like how we're treating shit at the minor league level over here. Like, you want to get creative and you want to experiment with moving the mound back and shit, do that down there. Like, this shit ain't happening at the big league level. Do that down there. You got a guy who you think can hit and pitch every day, whatever. You know what? Let him do that down there, and then we'll see. But it ain't like Shohei Ohtani showed up in the big leagues as a two-way player and proceeded to fucking dominate.
He did.
Like, you, so we'll you
I think, yeah. I think it's in the bag. I don't even really think it's a fucking, unless Vlad wins the Triple Crown, then you kind of you've awoken the elderly in that case. But outside of that, it's a done deal. The Cardinals did sweep the Padres, and we haven't even really talked about the Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis Jr. incident.
We'll get to that.
And obviously there was a video that was going viral, and you can see Manny Machado screaming in Tatis' face saying, it's not about you. It's not about you. And I know that there are people that don't like Manny Machado. Shit, I shouldn't like Manny Machado for ending Dustin Pedroia's career. And I'm not saying that I'm a Manny Machado fan. I would say I'm not for that reason. But players can grow. You can evolve. And it would seem like Manny Machado has made himself the captain, the voice of the clubhouse with the San Diego Padres. And Tatis talked about his relationship with Machado and said, he's the captain. He's the guy that I go to. Even if what he has to say isn't what I want to hear, I'll still go to him. And that's another one of those examples. He was saying something and he was right. It isn't about you. Okay, you struck out. Guess what? We still got to beat the fucking Cardinals. Because we're trying to, like, this was a huge series for us. They're in the second wild card spot, and we're making a push here to get back into a wild card spot to save our season. And you're worried about striking out? Go make a defensive play. Like, you can win a ball game that way. It doesn't matter. You don't need to hit a home run every single game. You could win a game with one defensive play. And are you in a better position to make that defensive play if you're still rattled about a strikeout that happened last inning? No. Get your fucking shit together. Get your head in the game and focus on winning. Don't focus on your fucking numbers that are up on the scoreboard. So I was totally on Machado's side. And
well, look, as far as fans go, this is why it's interpreted the way it is, I believe. Because if you're not in the room, if you're not a part of the clubhouse, you have your opinion of Manny Machado, and there's a laundry list of things that tell you, like, you know what, on the whole, probably not a dude I'm looking to break bread with, probably not a dude. Like, I'm not trying to hear him explain away the 3, 4, 5 different ridiculous actions that we've seen on the baseball field. I'm not here for that. Fucking save it. So when you hear from another player, being Tatis, the star, that Manny's actually the guy who's like, are you telling me that he's the moral compass in that clubhouse? Are you telling me he's the one that's keeping shit straight? Like, that guy, the dude who's throwing bats at Josh Donaldson down at third base, the dude who's hitting catchers, Derek Norris, multiple times on purpose and, like, not acknowledging it, like, talking shit. Like, the guy who kicked Jesus Aguilar, like, that guy's your moral compass? Whoa, what? That's where fans are coming from. Like, they don't want to hear that. They're fucking, they're like, okay, yeah, cool. Great, great leader. Great leader. And I can understand where fans come from in that regard. Problem is, that isn't the same opinion overall in the clubhouse of that dude. And so Manny, you got to remember, was part of the conversation when they're talking about bringing Tatis up. He's saying, look, what I see here, now that I'm here, what the future looks like, what you brought me here to do, which is kind of, you know, be a foundational pillar here, like, we need that kid. He needs to be here at the big league level with us. Like now. That's who Manny was at the beginning of all this. And you've got Manny who knows that in terms of being the big dog, in terms of his spotlight shining the brightest in San Diego, he was more than willing to sort of, I don't want to say step aside, but more than willing to allow Tatis Jr. to be the lead singer of the band. And he knows that, you know what, sometimes the lead singer can get a little crazy. Sometimes he can get a little out of hand, and we got to reel that motherfucker in. And that's where Manny comes in and says, hey, look, you're going to be the guy. You are the guy. You're the lead dog. That's fine. But I'm no dog. You're going to be tying up to the tree and shooting here. Like, I'm somebody who understands how this needs to go. And if we're going to get to where we want to get to, you have to understand that these at-bats right here, you got to take you and your ego out of the equation, because we need you for those next two at-bats later in the ballgame. Can't have you watching this fucking thing from the clubhouse.
And what I said on Twitter was that this can ignite a team. If you have these blow-ups, it can bring your team closer together, or it can rip you apart. I mean, it is one or the other usually. And it's not to say that the chemistry in the Padres clubhouse is going to deteriorate towards the end here as they go
through
a very rough finish to their season. But they did go on to lose the next two games.
Not only did they go on to lose the next two games, Tatis, error. Big error.
Yeah.
Fly ball he dropped?
Yeah.
And sails it? Runners move? I mean, I'll say this. For the fans who feel the way they do about the Machado stuff that I started this conversation with, those are the same fans, and all that stuff I listed are justifiable reasons for fans to be like, you know what? If that dude, that your moral compass dude, if that dude's got all that going on, who's to say that this doesn't sour things there? Who's to say? That's something the fans, I think, would be justified in thinking. So it's only time now that will tell how that interaction there impacted the clubhouse and impacted this season, right? Because, like, what's the answer to that? Like, they rattle off seven wins. They rattle off six in a row. You're going as a kind of like a mound meeting, right? Guy goes out there, throwing three straight balls. Pitching coach comes out, throws three straight strikes, punches the guy out and goes back in. It's like, hey, good meeting. Fucking work. Don't know what you said, but keep it up. So it's like, it's going to be the same thing. You win six in a row. It's like, hey, can we just fight each other more? Can we yell at each other more? Let's do that. Well, to your point, that did not happen. A couple losses came.
Not even close. I mean, it was almost an immediate pivot of momentum.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they lost the night before, but in this particular game, it was almost an immediate pivot in momentum that swung back in the Cardinals' favor and never came back to the Padres' way. But it is a small sample. It is only two games. I mean, who knows? They could take that time to figure their shit out, get on the same page, take a breather, remove themselves from I mean, the sting of having the team that's in front of you that you need to get in front of for the wild card spot. You had a golden opportunity to really do something here, and you blew it. You big time blew it. You didn't just lose the series. You got swept. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the New York Yankees and the changes that they might have coming their way this offseason if they don't make the playoffs, which is seeming increasingly likely. Which team do you think will face the bigger overhaul? Do you think that will be the Padres or the Yankees if those teams miss the playoffs?
Well, when you say overhaul, like, what would a Padres overhaul look like? Because I feel like the core guys that you're talking about, the core guys that we're considering, are all in place for a while. Right? Like, where's Tatis going? Nowhere. Machado going? Nowhere. Cronenworth? Nowhere. Frazier? Nowhere. Profar? Nowhere. Hosmer? Nowhere.
They could try. I mean, they did try.
Well, I mean, like, in terms of overhaul, there could be some movement, but I don't see the Padres I don't see the Padres in an overhaul position.
Do you think Tingler survives the offseason?
No, I told you I got Bruce Bochy managing the San Diego Padres.
Okay. I think that there will be drastic changes. That's not to say I know what those changes are, but I think that there will be movement if this team doesn't make the playoffs, which does seem like that's going to be the case, doesn't it?
That does seem like it's going to be the case.
It seems like it could be worse. It seems like they're 3.5 out. Like, they might end up missing the playoffs by like 7 games.
I was going to say, could you see them 10 games out of a wild card spot by the end of this?
Not 10, but I could see 7.
Because 10 is what? Like finishing this thing? Finish this thing like 5-8?
Yeah. I mean, that's also if the Cardinals stay hot. I mean, they've won 8 straight. It's going to be a little hard to keep that up, but.
Redbirds! Them Redbirds, Jared!
I think if any team does the big dirty and sneaks in, it's going to be the Phillies.
Really?
I think if any team shocks the world, I'm not predicting that the Phillies are going to get into the wild card. Yeah. I think if there's any team that catches fire and shocks the world to get the second wild card spot, I think it's going to be the
Aaron Nola, a little better performance as of late.
Yeah. They'll take it.
I don't know. You see that Kershaw's back.
Kershaw is back. Which can only help.
This is big. This is big for the push, Jared. Big for the division push.
Do you think? Because they're what, a game out entering today?
Did I just hear you say that with Kershaw back now, it's almost inevitable that the Dodgers take the division? Is that what you just said? Did you just say that?
How many games are left? 11? 10?
You have the balls, Jared? Do you? You have a fucking hair on your... You don't have a hair on your... You don't have the balls. You have the balls? You have the fucking balls right now to tell me with Kershaw back in the mix, healthy, back in the mix, that one-game lead that the Giants are clutching right now like a string of pearls is safe? You have the balls?
Here's what I'm going to say about this, Dallas.
Let's hear it.
I don't necessarily think that because Clayton Kershaw is back and throwing the ball well, that's the reason why the Dodgers are going to win the division.
Did you just call Clayton Kershaw a non-factor?
That's not what I said. However.
It kind of sounds like that's what you said.
However. Because, I mean, there's not enough time. There's not enough starts that he could make, is what I'm saying. There's not enough time left for one starting pitcher to make the difference.
Hey, like a starting pitcher. If he's got 2 starts left, Jared, they're down just 1 game in the division. So let's say Clayton Kershaw makes 2 extra starts or 2 yeah. more starts, and the Dodgers win those games. I believe that would be Clayton Kershaw directly impacting.
But who in the Dodgers rotation were you so glad to see removed in favor of Kershaw because they were so abysmal and they were so detrimental to the team's success?
I don't think anybody was clamoring for a change in the Dodger rotation. No. That's not what
I'm
saying.
So that's what I'm saying is like the upgrade of Clayton Kershaw returning isn't so great that he would be considered the difference maker. But
hey,
that's
look,
not
don't
my
try
point.
To backtrack. You're the one who called him a non-factor,
nope.
Not me.
Nope. But the point that I was going to make is that if I were writing this storyline,
mm-hmm.
the Giants having the season that they had, best record in baseball all year, they take the season series from the Dodgers 10-9.
Dodgers take the division. Giants have to play
the
wild card.
Day.
End up losing to a hot team at the wrong time of the season. Hang with them. Maybe next year.
Yeah.
Oh, Jared, that is a brutal outline you just laid out there for the Giants.
Yeah.
But I could see that happening.
Yeah, could you?
I could absolutely see that happening.
Yeah. I think with
you'd
one
hate to
game,
see it.
You would hate to see it. You would hate to see it because I think the Giants have been one of the best storylines, if not the best storyline of the season from a team.
It's been
standpoint.
So fun. They've been fun. They've been a fun club to follow. They have.
They have been fun. But there's just something deep in my soul that is telling me, hey, don't get caught off guard when this happens. But the Dodgers are going to win the division on, like, the last day of the season.
And what's crazy is to hear you say that the Dodgers are going to win the division, even with Clayton Kershaw being the non-factor, and that this entire season for the Giants has been fraudulent. It's about time you've come out and said these things, because there's people that have felt like it's just been me that has been anti-San Francisco Giants. Not that I've been anti-San Francisco Giant. No, I've been real about the expectations coming into this season, and I have been very real about the expectations of it all at the end. And in between those two things, the Giants have won a lot of baseball games. There's no doubt about it. But you heard Jared here right now tell you how fraudulent this season has been. I can't believe.
I think it'll just be another case, regardless of who wins the division. People will cite 2021 as a reason why, oh, the wild card game should be a best of three. And, like, how do you have a team have the best record in baseball all year and then have to play in the wild card game and then they lose one game and then their season was all for naught? People will refer back to this season as a reason why the wild card game should be a best of three. And you know what I say to that? You're wrong. Win the division.
If you want it, you want it for the wrong reasons, which means it's right the way it's set up.
Yeah.
You want three games because you hate to think that everything you've done could boil down to just one game, and if you lose that, you're fucking done. I don't want to do that. Nobody does.
Well, that's
absolutely
the whole point.
Nobody does. So
back
win
in the, day,
the division.
It used to be that if you won the wild card game, you were just in the playoffs. You're just there. Like, that's why I call it the postseason. The wild card game is the postseason. It's not the playoffs. Like, you're playing in a game for the chance to play in the playoffs. And back in my day, if you won the wild card, it was really no different than winning the division. And the rule back then was that if you won the wild card, like right now, so if you win the wild card now, you just play the best team in your league. Mm-hmm. And that's a disadvantage. I mean, you don't want to play the best team. Obviously, you'd rather have like a lighter opponent. But you couldn't play the best team if they were in your division. So anytime that like the Red Sox won the wild card and the Yankees won the division and they had the best record in the league, they couldn't play each other in the division series because they were in the same division. Now that doesn't matter. So they finally have come up with a way to make you actually want to win the division. You don't want to play in the one game playoff, and you don't want to have to play the guaranteed best team in the league coming out of the wild card. It is what it is. I enjoy it.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoy it as well. I will absolutely.
That's surprising coming from someone whose team plays in it every single year and loses.
It's different. I can separate the desire for my team to be in a deeper stretch in the postseason and what is good for the excitement of the product. I can separate those two.
I wish more people could. I'm proud of you that you can.
I mean, I'm capable of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I am totally here for. I'm totally here for, like, because who are you going to start? You starting Gossman? Starting
probably
Gossman,
right?
In that,
yeah,
WC1.
If,
like,
you can.
I am here.
You're going to be fighting for the division to the end. Like, you're not going to be, if you're the Giants, you're not going to be in a position to line yourself up for the wild card game. You're going to be throwing the kitchen sink at this thing to try and win the division down to the very end.
Man. Well, I mean, and look, the same is going to be said for the St. Louis Cardinals trying to hold on. Right? They're not trying to relinquish anything.
No, but their lead is a little bit.
They got a three.
Comfier.
They got a three-game lead, but they're not necessarily in a position to be manipulating shit right now.
No. I mean, who are you really afraid of if you're the Cardinals? Look at their fucking competition. The Cincinnati Reds have lost two straight and seven out of their last 10. The Philadelphia Phillies lost last night. They're 3.5 back. They're 5-5 over their last 10. The Padres are also 3.5 back, and they've lost eight out of their last 10 and three straight. No one that is chasing you that's within quote-unquote striking distance is playing good baseball right now. And you just won eight straight. And I'm not saying that it's okay to take the foot off the gas or anything, but there is no one right now that is chasing the St. Louis Cardinals that I would be afraid that they're going to overtake me if I'm a Cardinal fan.
Which is why I told you it was the fucking Redbirds at the beginning of this damn thing.
Yeah, that's why.
Wainwright's going to hit 200 innings.
He is.
Do the
Maybe
Cardinals,
one of four.
Yes, he'll be one of four. Do the Cardinals even have another guy that'll hit 100 innings?
100?
100. Kim?
What's he at?
I mean, he might be at 100. Close. But Flaherty, I mean, he's down, so yep. No. I don't know who else is making starts over there. What, Carmart?
Damn.
Let's see. Yeah, they're going to have Waino pumping 200. Nobody else with 100. Maybe one guy with 100.
Does Adam Wainwright get MVP votes in the National League?
Ooh, no. But that's a nice story.
You don't think so?
No.
If they're going to get to the playoffs.
Come on. Max Scherzer is going to get an MVP vote.
I'm just saying, is he going to get votes? I'm not saying he's going to win.
No, I know.
I think he's if because Paul Goldschmidt would probably be if someone from the Cardinals is going to get MVP votes, it would be him. Kim, by the way, has 101 and 2/3, and then Carlos Martinez has 82 and a third. So no. That's it.
Jesus.
And if that's the case, why wouldn't you look at that performance? Because it's not just like 200 filler innings for Adam Wainwright. It's 200 innings of a sub three. I mean, he's giving you almost seven. He's giving you 6 2/3 innings per start over 30 starts so far. If I were to vote for anyone in the MVP race from the St. Louis Cardinals, I'm giving that vote to Adam Wainwright before I give it to anybody else.
On the Cardinals. That's fair.
Yeah.
I'm not going to argue with you there.
Yeah. Because, I mean, he's essentially doubled up the next closest person to him in innings pitched this season.
Yeah. At fucking 39 years old or whatever.
39. He's thrown almost 3,000 pitches this year. He's made 30 starts. He's made 9 more starts than the next guy. But the average number of starts made by a Cardinals pitcher this year is roughly 12. And he's made 30.
Dirty.
Yeah.
Well, Jared.
Tell us.
I know sometimes you get in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can be rushing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you feel like you've got a window of opportunity, like you can sneak through. There's an opening. You don't have an opening. You cannot sneak through. I understand. It can be frustrating. You're trying to get from A to B. You're in a hurry. You got stuff to do. But God damn that train. Is that train seriously fucking... Yeah, the train is coming. And you need to chill. All right? You need to chill. especially at the railway crossing. Wait for the train. The signals are going. Train's not there yet. You might feel like you can squirt through. Oh, I got it. No problem. Here we go. Right now. Just go real quick. Don't do it. Don't ever do it. To the naked eye, trains often appear a hell of a lot farther away than they actually are. Looks like they're moving super slow. They're not. They're hauling ass. Hundreds of thousands of pounds of steel flying down the railway in your direction. And it takes these things sometimes miles to stop. So if you can see it coming, if it were to hit its brakes right then and there, there's a good chance it's not stopping until a mile or so past you. Just think about that. That's enough reason to not want to try to cross the tracks. Don't do it. The train can't stop. Even if it sees you, it's going to be a disaster. Don't be on the other end of that disaster. If the signals are on, the train is on its way. And you just need to remember one thing. Stop. Because trains cannot. Please. So for more info on railroad crossing safety, visit www.nhtsa.gov/campaign/railroad crossing. Jared?
Dallas.
We've kind of touched on this a bit, but we've got 13 ball games-ish. Mm-hmm. 14-ish. But we got 2 weeks left in this marathon. Mm-hmm. And put on your sprinter shoes, bud. Put on your sprinter spikes. Because it's a race to the finish. We've got a playoff odds check-in. We touched on this and what the Yankees' odds were of winning the World Series. But these are playoff odds. As of right now, there's two teams in the American League who are absolutely locked in. Rays, White Sox, book it. From there, Astros, 99.3% chance. Strong chance. Very strong chance. Red Sox, 89.7%, essentially 90%. Blue Jays, 72%. Yankees, 28%. And the lowly Athletics, all the way down to 9.5%. And the Mariners, just a game or game and a half or so behind the A's, only 0.6%. That is a hell of a drop-off. Hell of a drop-off. So without involving the Red Sox in this conversation for you, Jared,
mm-hmm.
out of those teams that remain, Blue Jays, Yankees, A's, and because the Mariners are on this list, we'll factor them in too. How do you see that last wild card spot shaping up? Again, this is all just giving the Red Sox wild card one spot.
I don't even know that I'm ready to give the Red Sox the top spot. I mean, I've been saying it. I'm not either.
This is just an exercise.
Yeah, I've been saying it. I've been saying the wild card goes through Boston. I mean it probably in my heart, I mean it about 78%. But would I be surprised if something happened along the way where something always happens with Red Sox Yankees where one team just turns it on and you know, the Red Sox could be playing like shit and then they run into the Yankees and it's like, oh, the Yankees? All right. And then they turn into world beaters. And the same thing has happened for the Yankees against the Red Sox where they weren't playing great baseball, but then they look like superheroes against Boston. So I'm expecting some fuckery one way or the other in that Red Sox Yankees series this weekend, which would be at Fenway Park, Sunday Night Baseball. I just don't know who it will be in favor of.
That's this weekend?
I think that whoever wins the first game sweeps the series. There'll be a sweep one way or the other.
That starts Friday?
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, who do the Red Sox play right now?
fucking, we've got the Mets for two off Thursday, Yankees this weekend. Then I think we go.
See, that's what you guys
Baltimore
have on your...
and the Nats. Like, we finish, like, our schedule is fucking garbage besides having to play the Yankees. And, like, they're not that great either. So.
So is it fair to say that you feel right now that after this weekend series, it's just a skate to the finish?
Yes. Yeah. It would take something catastrophic for the Red Sox to not get in at this point. Like, even if let's just say they split with the Mets, they lose two out of three to the Yankees.
So
having six left after that with Baltimore and the Nats should be enough to get in.
So then it's fair to say that, and look, I can't do it, and I won't do it. I won't do it. I won't get ahead of myself for the A's, because I was going to be talking about looking at that series and seeing how much of an impact that series is going to have on the A's. But the A's have four with the Mariners, who are behind them. And
yeah, I'm calling it.
That whole thing could look different.
Yeah, I'm calling it.
Calling what?
A season's over.
Fuck your face.
I'm calling it.
Not even close.
It's a wrap.
Not even close. Chris Bassett's coming back, bud.
Yeah, I don't care. Calling it. A season's over. The Yankee season, as I said, in July is over. It's just a matter of where the wild card game is going to be played. Is it going to be in Boston? Is it going to be in Toronto? You tell me. Doesn't matter, because I think we're just – I don't think we're going to the game regardless, which sucks because I've always wanted to go to a wild card game. But it doesn't seem as though we'll be attending regardless of where it is being played geographically. So,
I mean, I can get into Canada. Can you get into Canada?
I have a passport, yeah.
Okay.
I think the only way that I would be able to go is if the Red Sox weren't in the game. If the Red Sox were in the game, I'm not going to be able to go. But if it were like Blue Jays, A's in Canada, then yeah, we would probably go.
Why would you not be able to go?
Because we have to do a live show. Going to make the company money.
We could do a live show in Toronto.
Oh, man. That'd be wild. Isn't it super, like, it's still super strict up there, right?
Probably. I mean, I'm talking out of the side of my neck right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can basically get, I'd love to do it.
Yeah,
I would love to do it. I just feel like it's still strict up there.
Yeah, you just want to come back.
I want to be able to come back. Yeah,
you don't want to miss Ellen's fucking beef stroganoff.
Right.
That's all right.
Other than that, though, I mean, we've got plans to go to Milwaukee for Game One of the division series.
Yeah, what day does that start?
That's got to be what, the 6th or the 7th.
Start penciling that in.
Yeah, that's a done deal. Book that.
That's a done deal. Well, in the NL, it is Brewers, hundo. Dodgers, hundo. Giants, hundo. As far as playoff odds are concerned, that's where the Cardinals come in fourth.
By the way, that video got major traction in Milwaukee.
What video?
From the podcast where I said I would rather be in the Brewers Hall of Fame than the Baseball Hall of Fame. Oh. And if there's team that I would want to strap it on for, it'd be the Milwaukee Brewers.
Well, you're just selling your soul left and right. You're selling your soul.
That's how I feel. That's how I feel. I'm never going to say anything on this podcast that I don't feel deep down in my soul. And if you were to ask me, hey, Jared, you can go into Cooperstown. You can go into the National Baseball Hall of Fame. You good with that? No. I want to go into the Brewers Hall of Fame. Like, that's where I want my legacy to be. That's where I want to be immortalized forever. The Brewers
Stop
Hall
it.
Of Fame.
Stop.
It's true. It's true.
Stop it. All right. Well,
you know how many people are in the, you know, I'll say this. What's more impressive, a no-hitter or a 20-strikeout game?
No-hitter.
No. There are five 20-strikeout games. There are a million no-hitters.
That's cool. Yeah. I mean, no-hitters are cool, though.
They're cool, but so are 20-strikeout games are way cooler.
Very cool.
And the Brewers Hall
of Fame
is... Is
that even
a
fucking
like
serious
a,
question?
The Brewers Hall of Fame is like a 20-strikeout game.
And
the,
and you're
the National Baseball
so
Hall of Fame
the,
is like a no-hitter.
Just to get this straight, you're comparing organization, one solo organization's
mm-hmm.
Hall of Fame,
mm-hmm.
and you're equating that to a 20-strikeout performance,
mm-hmm.
and you've essentially called Cooperstown a Bud Smith no-hitter.
Mm-hmm. I mean, being in the Baseball Hall of Fame used to be cool, and then they just started letting everybody in. And then the Brewers Hall of Fame.
I'm gonna mute this part so I don't become dumber listening to this.
I mean, think of it this way: is Ken Griffey Jr. is he in the Brewers Hall of Fame? No,
no, he's not.
Hank Aaron.
Nope. Oh yes,
Willie Mays.
What are we talking about?
He could be Willie Mays. Babe Ruth, Barry Bonds, Derek Jeter. Nope.
Are you
Bob
done?
Gibson. Are any of them Brewers Hall of Famers?
No, they're okay. Not.
No, they're not. So at the end of the day, what's more prestigious? What's the more exclusive club? What's higher in the pantheon of baseball achievements?
Yeah, that's Cooperstown.
The Brewers Hall of Fame.
it's definitely Cooperstown.
And that's where I'll be someday.
You can drink your Goslings in Cooperstown.
Catch me in Milwaukee.
How about that?
In the Brewers Hall of Fame, drinking Goslings.
I'll cash you outside of Cooperstown. Look it in.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll get you a job as an usher in Cooperstown.
That's what Minahan wants to do.
Do what?
He wants to be like one of the Hall of Fame like tour guides.
Like, don't you have to feel like you've got to be like a somebody who likes people? I don't know if Kurt, maybe he doesn't. I don't know. Does he like people?
No, but he does. He likes baseball history. He doesn't like current baseball, but he's got like an encyclopedic knowledge of baseball from when he was a kid, for sure.
Like, is he prepared for battle? Because you start chirping some of these folks that show up at the Hall of Fame ready to drop their baseball encyclopedia knowledge on them, and you start offending folks. Could be fisticuffs time.
Kirk
at the Hall of Fame.
Never been someone that's been afraid to offend people. That's for sure.
No?
No.
I don't know this Minahan fella, so. You gonna tell me about Goslings or what do you?
Yeah, Goslings Rum with its Bermudian values motivates people to take time, stop and smell the roses, to step away from the rat race and be happy. Family owned and operated since 1806, Goslings Rum is the spirit of Bermuda, and the dark and stormy is Bermuda's national drink. The name Dark and Stormy was said to have originated around the 1920s when an old fisherman observed that the drink was the color of a cloud only a fool or a dead man would sail under.
Oh.
Probably followed by barman, I'll have another Dark and Stormy.
Oh.
Goslings makes it even easier as they have ready-to-drink Dark and Stormy canned cocktails. It's 100% authentic with no malt base. It's just Goslings Black Seal Rum and Goslings Stormy Ginger Beer ready to go. Find it in your local liquor store's fridge or pre-mixed cocktail aisle. Goslings is the official rum of the Boston Red Sox and offer a limited-release Red Sox Edition Fenway Green Dark and Stormy can. Available at Fenway Park and at liquor stores in New England. Just go to reservebar.com, receive $15 off your order of any Gosling's product with the promo code BARSTOOL. Bad timing for Hyunjin Ryu to go down.
Terrible timing. Terrible timing. I've been telling you. Yeah. Jay's got a shot. They can maintain if Robbie Ray can get a little help from his friends.
Yeah.
If that offense can get a little help from Robbie Ray and his friends. Robbie Ray, your Cy Young front runner. He's doing work. What's the rest of the group looking like? This is the absolute worst time for Hyunjin Ryu to become a pain in the neck.
Very bad.
Which is what is happening. We've got a pain in the neck, right?
Yep. Not good. Not good timing. It doesn't really matter for a wild card game. That's Robbie Ray's ball. But if you want to go toe-to-toe with the Tampa Bay Rays, you're going to need all hands on deck. Maybe this is a situation for Ryu where you want to get him that rest now, give him 2 weeks down, get him back out there just in time for the playoffs, hope for the best with Robbie Ray in a wild card game, matching up against Christopher Allen Sale, maybe Nathan Eovaldi. Red Sox got options for that game, which is nice. Blue Jays?
You got what? You got offense for that game?
Options.
Oh. Yeah, whose offense you like better there?
I mean, people forget the Red Sox won the season series. They won the season series.
That's fine.
So what? That's a big deal. You play a team 19 times and you have the winning record against them, that counts. That's not like, oh, we play each other like they're playing the fucking Mets this year 4 times. All right, cool. We take the season series from the Mets. All right, well, it's a 4-game series. Who gives a shit? What do you really learn about that? But you play a team 19 times, you have a pretty good idea who the better team is. And the Red Sox, season series. Check.
Red Sox, let me ask you this. Is it possible for a team to win more games against a team that ultimately could still be better than them?
Are you referring to the Dodgers and the Giants, Dallas?
No, I'm just referring to the possibility. Just randomly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's possible.
Okay.
All right. It's definitely possible. But in this example, if you're referring to the Giants and the Dodgers have the better run differential. The Dodgers could end up being in first place. And the Giants have had a better record than the Dodgers pretty much all year. And the Red Sox have had a better record than the Blue Jays all year. So it's not even just like, oh, like in head-to-head competition, you may have gotten us, but we've been the better team overall. Like the Red Sox have been the better team overall all year, better than the Blue Jays, record-wise.
Yeah, well, I just thought, what was that first number you threw out? Was that first step? Was that run differential you threw out there?
Yeah, the Blue Jays have a really good run differential. I think they're like the second best in the league.
Yeah, it's like well over 100 more runs than I think the Red Sox.
That's why I said I would take the Blue Jays offense.
Okay, yeah. So who what
wouldn't?
I said.
Who wouldn't?
No. Ray, I just wanted to see if you would. That is a fair question.
No.
Yeah.
There's no one on planet Earth that wouldn't take the Blue Jays offense over the Red Sox offense. Run differential? Dodgers, Astros, Giants, Blue Jays.
Where are the Red Sox on that list?
Rays, White Sox, Brewers, Braves, Red Sox. Just slightly better than the Oakland A's.
Just slightly better. Mm-hmm. What are the A's? A's have a nice run differential.
That's pretty nice. The A's have won 5 straight.
Quietly. Just quietly.
Yeah. Red Sox have quietly won 5 straight as well.
We're coming, Jerry.
No, you're not.
We're coming. We're coming.
Where are you going?
Oh. Don't let it happen. These next, I've said it. A's fans who are listening, these next 4 games, and you can even call it 7, these next 4 to 7 games are going to tell you just how important those last 6 games are going to be.
I'm rooting for you to overtake the Yankees. I mean, if the Yankees aren't going to make it, I just, you know, I at least hope that you are somewhat close. It's fine. There's, you know what? There's a possibility still. I'll say this. There's a possibility it's Red Sox A's. That's still on the table.
I mean, there's a very good chance this thing could be Toronto-Oakland.
No.
You don't know.
No, I do know.
You don't know. Nobody knows.
No, I know that it's not happening.
No, I don't think you do. I mean, you want to believe that can't be the case.
6 games to close it out against the Orioles, who the Red Sox are 12-4 against, and the Nats.
Orioles got some fight in them.
The Orioles?
Oh,
I got
hey.
To see our boy on Friday.
Who? Mancini?
Yep. I hadn't seen him since 2019. I obviously didn't get to see him last year. And then every time that the Orioles have
Did
been
Did you
in
not
town,
see him at the All-Star game?
No.
Oh.
I didn't see any players at the All-Star game.
Oh. I saw him at the All-Star game.
Where the fuck was I that you saw him and I didn't?
I don't know. I was down there while they were taking BP. He was wearing me out because me and RDT go back and forth about the best first baseman in the American League, and Manchise was giving me shit about it on Twitter a while back, and we were just kind of ribbing each other about it. So he was talking shit to me while they were taking BP for the Derby about the best I forget what he said. Like, oh, you're talking to Matt Olson, and it's good to see you have time for the other first baseman in the American League. Just what a good dude.
It's a great guy. I love him. Gave him a big hug. I don't know if this is legal, but.
Yeah, quality human.
He's going to do it anyway. All right, final thoughts.
Yeah, final thoughts. I don't know if you saw this. I'm sure you did. Vlad Guerrero Jr., Josh Donaldson, jersey exchange at home plate. Why I like this? One, it's really cool just, you know, JD and Vlad. It's not like a passing of the torch by any means, but, you know, JD, pretty impactful guy up there in Toronto. Vlad, kind of say the same thing for Vlad. So you got 2 MVPs exchanging jerseys. You know, JD rounding 3rd in this thing, and Vlad getting ready to just take over Major League Baseball. But I love it because you see this stuff in every other sport, and you see it, meaning the fans see this. Baseball, Jared, a lot of times you send for. And meaning, hey, you got a jersey over there? Or can I get a jersey? Tell the clubby, let them know. I'll pay for it, donate to a charity, whatever. You know, if there's anything of mine you would like or whatever, like, I can sign that for you, whatever. But that exchange doesn't typically occur in front of fans. In the NBA? Absolutely. Jersey exchanges going down at midcourt. They're taking shit off, throwing it into the stands, giving away shoes. Love all of that. Soccer, same thing happens. Jersey exchange, middle of the pitch. NFL, same exact thing. Baseball, it doesn't happen. So I love to see that because in that moment, those guys are inscribing the jerseys, maybe writing a little something, you know, and the fans behind them, just the backdrop, the whole scene was very cool. Dude standing behind home plate or just off to the side. Everybody's clapping. I just thought it was a really cool moment. And I think what's funny is because this happened, I think it was Ronaldo. Somebody like stopped him and asked like, "Hey, swap jerseys? Like your jersey, my jersey?" He was like, "Who the fuck are you? No, I'm not swapping my jersey with you. That's not happening." Like I would hate to see that unfold. That would be kind of cringy.
You gonna swap a jersey with me?
But who? Well, I was just gonna ask you if you were gonna swap a jersey with someone in Major League Baseball right now. Who would you want to swap jerseys with?
I would have to. It would have to first be someone who would think that it was funny that they got my jersey. Probably Dahlbeck. Yeah. I would want to swap jerseys with someone who would understand that, like, I want to hang your jersey up because I like you as a person, not because, like, I'm, like, a fan of you as a baseball player. Like I hang that jersey up because I like that guy as an individual. Like, I'm happy to have that jersey hanging up in my office. Like, I got fucking... The only jersey that I have hanging in my entire apartment is right here, and it's the Players Weekend jersey. It's the Travis Shaw Mayor of Ding Dong City jersey. And it's like, I hang that one up because it's like, we came up with that nickname and it ended up catching on. A Major League Baseball player used it on his Players Weekend jersey. And then he just like signed it and said, thanks for the nickname. So it's like, that's cool. Like there has to be like a story behind it.
Yeah.
So like Glasnow. Like having like if I did like
but
a
you would want shape. Him you would want him to sign it Sex God and correct. Not Tyler Glasnow.
Yeah like this one says like Rocket, thanks for the nickname, Travis Shaw, Mayor of Ding Dong City. Like that's cool. Yeah. But I think I would want to do one with like Glasnow, Dahlbeck, JD.
You only
JDs.
Get one, fucker. Jesus, I'm not asking you to put an entire room together.
I would like to put an entire room together. Yelly, obviously. Giolito. Where would I be without Giolito and his hair product recommendations?
See?
I'd still be a virgin.
You'd still be rocking a buzz cut.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think... Oh, man. Cora, too. There's a lot of guys that I'd love to do a jersey exchange with. Yeah.
That's so cute.
What do you mean? There's a lot of guys. There's a lot of guys that like what they inscribe on the jersey would be meaningful to me. To have that.
Yeah. Well, it's a combination of respecting the other person's game, but obviously there's a friendship there.
Yeah, it's like we shared this memory together. Like JD being my duck boat buddy. That's going to hold up forever. We ride together, we die together. Also, my final thought. We haven't done this segment really because it kind of became Stay Hot or Not, which went away. But the Show 'Em Some Love segment. I want to show some love to Max Fried right now.
For slicing and dicing.
Yeah, and he's been slicing and dicing. Last night against the Happy Flight, he beats the San Francisco Giants. Goes 7 innings, 3 hits, 0 earned runs, 1 walk, 5 tickets. And over his last 10 starts, in which the Atlanta Braves are 8-2, 65 innings, just 13 earnings, 63 strikeouts in those 65 innings. Opponents hitting 197, 549 OPS, a 180 ERA. 180 over his last 10. Or
dealing.
Since the trade deadline, basically.
Dealing.
Yeah, he's taken his ERA. At that point, he was at a 4.32. Or he actually went into that start with a 4.46 through his first 16 starts. And he's got a 1.80 over his last 10, which has gotten his ERA on the season down to a 3.31. So a hell of a turnaround for him. And it's pretty accurate. The FIP is 3.45. The ERA is 3.31. So he's been that good. He's been that good, and he's turning it around at the right time. We, Dallas, will be able to see him when we're in Milwaukee for the National League Division Series against my Milwaukee Brewers. Shout out to Eddie Rosario. Hit for the cycle on Sunday for the Atlanta Braves. Big, big day for the Bravos.
They've locked it down.
They have.
I feel like they have locked it, even with almost 2 weeks left. I feel like they're hitting their stride at just the right time.
The Braves?
Yeah, just the right time. Come
even
on.
Even in the
it
games
hasn't been
that
great
the Braves
over their
have
last...
been losing, you still feel like there's... like when they have like a kind of like a tough series against the Rockies in Colorado, and it would be like they were losing, but then someone would hit a home run late to make it close. And you just felt like, all right, they're starting to come back, and they're obviously going to finish off the comeback, but then they didn't. But like that's the thing about this Atlanta Braves team is that their lineup fucks so hard that when they show any signs of life, like if you're going to beat the Braves, you better shut them out. Because if you don't, say it's like 6-0, and then bang, Adam Duvall, now it's 6-2. Bang, Freddie Freeman, now it's 6-5. Once they get there, you feel like there's no chance that they're going to lose this game. And sometimes they do. But
well,
there's always
that
chance.
They lost 2 1-run games against the Rockies.
Yep.
2 very close ball games. Mm-hmm. And then they lose 2 close games against the Giants.
Yep.
And so you're saying, Dallas, are you telling me that you feel like they're hitting their stride and they just lost 2 series in a row? Yeah, I feel like... to your point, Jared, the way they're losing them, they could be winning those. It's just a hit here. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So with the way that Max Fried is pitching, the way that things are going right now, I feel with what their schedule looks like, yeah. Because what do they got? They got the are they playing the Diamondbacks?
They're going,
the
yeah, they're going to Arizona.
Okay, so, all right.
Yeah, they
actually, here, go to the schedule.
The Atlanta Braves go to Arizona for 4. Then
but they've
got
also.
They go to San Diego for the struggling Padres.
In which they have a makeup or they have a suspended game to complete. That is in the bottom of the 5th. Atlanta is losing that ball game. 4-5.
Which game is this?
That would start the doubleheader on Friday. Friday they will have a doubleheader against the Padres, and that will be to complete the suspended game in which they are trailing 5-4. That game was being finished from July 21st. And then they'll play another game.
The Braves right now, what do they got, a 2-game lead?
Yeah, 2-game lead over the Phillies.
2-game lead over the Phillies.
And they've got 3 with Philly at the end of the season just before the final series with the Mets. Hang on, Bravos.
They got this. I ain't worried. I ain't worried about that lineup. I'm worried about the fucking pitchers who have to face that lineup. That's where my heart's at right now. Thoughts and prayers go out to them.
We'll see you in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
We go.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.